Welcome to worship this morning. It's so good to see all of you.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything that he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him had he not been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again eat of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Let's say thanks be to God. It's felt right to me that for the next few Sundays, on the first Sunday of the month when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, that we'd actually hear those texts that refer to it, that describe this central activity that draws the people of God closer to one another and closer to the heart of God. This particular version comes from Mark, and Mark is very keen to keep things simple. And so when we think about the Gospel of Mark, we think about the way he tells the story, we can always think about it as in terms of what's essential. Do you notice what's essential about the story as far as Mark is concerned? First, this was based on the Passover meal. That what the Lord does, what Jesus does when he gathers his disciples, is he takes what once was the Passover meal and he claims it and reshapes it to something new, something that not only would his disciples live out differently, but that we would be able to participate, we who aren't even Jewish. Jesus already has a vision for a larger meal and a larger inclusion of the world into what he's up to. So that's the first thing, that the Lord's Supper is a grace meal. And it was based on the Passover, which was also a grace meal. And I want to think about that a little bit more in a moment. So that's the first essential thing. It's a grace meal. And it was based on an ancient tradition that becomes new and having a fuller and deeper meaning because Jesus places himself at the center of it. The second thing that we notice as essential is that this meal takes place in the midst of controversy. It's a grace meal, but there's not a lot of grace in the room. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of doubt. And when Jesus just makes it clear that one of the people who's invited to this meal is also one of the people who's going to betray him, well, that sort of puts a kind of dark pall over the matter. It's as if Mark wants us to understand that this meal isn't supposed to be pure. isn't supposed to be fancy. It isn't supposed to be this meal that in which everybody's on their best behavior. It's sort of a real meal with real people wrapped in real issues and the real mess and the real pain and the real hardship of what it means to be in community with one another gets revealed even in this first Lord's Supper. So, as you look around the room, find somebody who bugs you. Find somebody that you've got a grudge against. Find somebody that you don't trust too much. Why are you all looking at me? Look around and remember that the people who are gathered at this meal, they don't, not only do they not like each other, they don't trust each other. And yet Jesus calls them. And that all of what's happening, Jesus wants them to know. All the mess, all the imperfection, all the ways in which this doesn't look ideal at all. Jesus says, this is still the grace meal I'm giving you. And I'm extending this meal even to Judas, even to the one who betrays me. This grace goes to everybody. So it's a grace meal, that's essential. It's a messy, an emotionally complicated meal. That's also essential to Mark. It's also essential to us. And then the last thing I would point out as essential is that Jesus is the host. Jesus is the host in at least two really important ways, right? He's the host, that is to say, Jesus is the one who presides over the meal. He's the one who sits at the head of the table. He's the one who orchestrates the experience. He's the one who guides his friends through it. He's also the host, as we use the term now. He describes himself as, he's not just giving bread. He's not just giving cup. He's giving his very self. He says, this meal, this grace meal will, from this day onward, be the meal in which you encounter me, in which I give the fullness of myself to you. And so we come again to this meal. And last week I shared with you an image that's really important to me, and I hope that it's this last week you've had a chance to think about it. The image I shared with you last week was the image of the 12-inch journey. The journey from head to heart that many of us who grew up in church, who've been surrounded by this thing called the life of and the community of faith. Many of us who don't remember when we, the first time we were in Sunday school, who don't actually maybe even remember saying the prayer inviting Jesus into our hearts, that we, like Nicodemus, need to take that 12-inch journey from head to heart, to take what we know in our heads about God, about its faith, and work it and allow it to work its way all the way into the depths of our being. That's the story of Nicodemus, because I believe that as only as we make that connection, we churchy folks, that as we go out into the world, we're going to encounter people who have a sense of God in their hearts, but they haven't met Jesus yet. They don't know about God. They don't know about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They just know that there's some sense of a larger purpose that they want to be connected to. And we want to be connected to them. Amen. We want to be with them. So that's why I shared with you the image of the 12-inch journey last week. That we're working this 12-inch journey. This week, I want to offer you a different image. And it's the image of a river. And that river is the river of grace. Whenever I talk about grace, yes, I'm talking about the unearned favor of God. We can't do anything to earn it. That seems to be essential to Mark's telling of the story, isn't it? You guys don't get along with each other. You're not the best behaved disciples ever. But you are the ones that God gave to me. And even though one is betraying me, I am going to love all of you. That's grace. I need that grace. Do you need that grace? But grace is also power. It's also the power to do that which we cannot and never were intended to do in our own strength. The power to follow Christ wherever he would lead us. The power to love each other even though we make each other crazy. The love and the power to go out into the world and give ourselves away at risk. To hold loosely to that which we have in order to receive that which only God can give in order to give it away in the world. Grace is the power to be blessed in order to be a blessing in the world. The river of grace is available to all of us, and we are actually in that river whether we recognize it or not. I love this image of the river of grace because it reminds me that more often than not, I find myself trying to swim against the current. More often than not, I'm trying to figure out how to make life work on my terms. How to get it done, get what I want, accomplish what I feel is necessary, what's needed, what's important. And that I find that exhausting, and yet I keep doing it over and over again. Can you identify with that at all? And at some point, sooner or later, I get exhausted. And I wonder, why is life so hard? And I can hear the Holy Spirit lovingly say, it never was intended to be this hard. It was never supposed to be like this, but you keep swimming against the current of my grace. You keep wanting to go where you think you want to go instead of going along with what I'm doing. One of the things I hope that we can continue to go deeper into as a community is a recognition that you and me, each of us and all of us, are in the midst of the grace of God and we can trust it. And that as we live in the river of grace, we can receive what comes our way and say, this, in the flow of grace, this is what's coming to me. I may not have picked it. This may not look the way I want it to, but this is what it is, and I can receive it. And to live into the river of grace, to practice the rhythms of life that help us stay in the center of that rhythm, to stay in that river, that is part of what the Lord's Supper does for us. That once, every time we gather around this table, we are coming back again to the idea, oh, that's right, this isn't about me. It isn't about what I can do. It's not about my strength. It's not about what God expects of me. Oh, yes, that's right. I'm in the flow of what God's doing, and I now can receive this. I need this. I wonder if gathering at this table, if we did nothing else, but when we get here, say, let me just check in with my mind and my heart and just check in with how exhausted I am, how tired I am trying to make life work on my terms. And boy, I need something different. And it's as if at that very moment, Jesus stands and says, yes, you do. Come to this table. Come to this table. Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary. Come to me, you who are heavy laden. Come to me, you who have tried and tried and tried in your own strength, and now you need this. Come back. Come back into the rhythm. Come back into the flow of my grace. Whenever we, the people of God, celebrate this meal, that's the invitation we're coming to. It's so important that we remember that the Lord's Supper cannot be taken, it can only be received. We can't claim it for ourselves. We can't insist upon it, and we cannot earn it. And we cannot judge who gets to come and who doesn't. That's the Holy Spirit's work. What we do instead is we seek to make this table open and available to anyone who has even just a little bit of idea of who Jesus is and a whole lot of recognition at that moment that what they really need is something they cannot give to themselves. They can't earn their way into. They can't work for it. They have to surrender to it. And surrender to the grace. And quit swimming against the current. Keep striving against what they can't have. That is what it means to be in a grace meal. I emphasize all this. I want to spend this time with you because it seems to me that, well, we forget what this is about. A little cup of juice, a little piece of bread. That we have gotten these down to little symbols, sort of like a communion pill. And the smallness of these elements might lead us to believe that this is a small thing we're doing. And nothing could be further from the truth. Amen? That we gather at this table and it's the biggest thing we do. It's the biggest thing we do because this is the action that we take to proclaim to one another and to make available to the world the fullness of God's grace meal and enable the world to know that they can at any moment recognize that it's all grace. That the fullness of God's love is available to them and it is available in such a simple, clear way that they can hold it in their hands. Jesus says, take this, not because it's bread, because it's not bread anymore, it's me. Take this cup, not because it's just a cup anymore. This isn't just the family meal. This isn't just the thing we do this time every year. This is me. I'm giving you me. And if you've got me, you don't need anything else. To live in the river of grace is to be reminded and to live in the reality that you are enough because God is enough. And God has given the fullness of God's self to you and makes the fullness of God's loving self, grace-filled self, available to you this very moment. Friends, it is my longing, and I hope it's your longing too, that as we continue to live in this rhythm of sharing this meal together, of coming into deeper understanding of what it means for each of us and for all of us, that we will begin to cultivate a new yearning. That we will experience a holy restlessness. That each time we gather at this meal, we would find ourselves saying, I am so grateful to be here in this room. I'm so grateful to be with my family and my friends. But man, I know there are people out in the world, outside these doors, and they need this meal too. And God, I don't know how to get them here, but I know this. I will celebrate and I will embrace them. I will love them and cheer with them when they come and get to share this meal with us. I want us to remember why this meal matters so that we can begin to long for it to matter in the lives of people who've never, ever shared in it before, who've never gotten to experience this. Make sense? Make sense what I'm saying? And so as we prepare our hearts now, as we, each of us, take a moment to simply say, God, I don't have to understand all this to receive it. It doesn't have to all make sense to me, but I do know this much. I can't do this life on my own terms, in my own way. I know I can't because I'm exhausted of trying, and I do need you. If we can just hold those three things, I don't get it, but I know I need it, and I'm willing to receive it, then friends, you're ready to share in this table with each other. Let us pray. Loving Lord, you who draw us, into this place, who have drawn us together on this rainy morning. You, some of us got to see a rainbow coming in, that extraordinary reminder of your promises. Give us a sense now of what it means to be in the river of your grace. To feel your love flowing around us and holding us in the midst of your care. Thank you for drawing us to this table. Thank you, Jesus, for being the host. It's your table. And we, the pastors and the elders who share, who serve it out and distribute it, we do so in your name, on your behalf. Holy Spirit, minister to us through this meal. Nourish us through it. Meet us in it and move us out into the world to love with uncommon love because we have been in your presence. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our host. Amen. And so, as we have heard, on the night that Jesus was indeed betrayed by one of his friends, he gathered his friends together and he began the meal by taking bread and breaking it and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood." And for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And he is going to return. Amen? Amen. So it is our custom, friends, that our servers will distribute first the bread and then the cup. You're invited to consume the bread when you receive it, if you wish, to meditate upon it, if you need. Then we'll distribute the cup, and we would ask that you hold the cup that we may all share in it together. The feast is prepared. The Lord has prepared it. All has been made ready. Friends, come. Take and drink. And now, friends, receive the benediction, the good word. The God who brought all creation into being, placed us at the center of creation and of his love, placed us in the garden of his abundance. This same God sent his Son, drawing us out of sin and death into fullness of life. And the Father and the Son gave us the Holy Spirit that we might be one with him and with one another. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you who have been nourished now go to be a blessing in the world. Amen.